Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The text line is very upset at me and my stance. I went on the Google machine and I looked up food that is served at Yankee Stadium. I've never been to Yankee Stadium before. I certainly would like to go at one point. They serve a meatloaf burger. It is toasted on a brioche bun. It is a house-made meatloaf that they make into a burger, crispy fried onions with a barbecue aioli. Rob said he would try this, just not at the ballpark. I do not think that meatloaf is very good. In fact, I think that meatloaf is terrible. The text line, very upset at this. C-Dot, your mom must not have made good meatloaf because it is amazing. We're actually having it for dinner tonight. Someone else says, if you don't like meatloaf, then you've never had good meatloaf. I don't think that that exists, actually. I don't think it exists to have good meatloaf. I think there are contradictions of each other to have good meatloaf. This is why. And Rob, I want you to be honest with me. Let's say that you and your wife are going on date night. You guys just had that a couple of weeks ago, right? You guys went to Herman. I'm sure you guys sat down together and had a nice dinner with one another. You were two people that love each other. I've had dinner with you and your lovely wife before. It was a great meal. You would judge your wife a little bit if she picked up the menu and ordered a meatloaf. Think about all the other things that would be on the meatloaf. Or on the menu, excuse me. Think about all the things that would be on there. You would look at your wife a little bit different. You're like, because we all have this conversation. Hey, babe, what are you thinking about getting? What do you think about getting? And then, you know, she's like, the salmon. I kind of want to get the pasta. If she told you, I don't know, man, this meatloaf sounds kind of good, you would judge her a little bit, and that's perfectly fine. When you are deciding what you want to eat and you are thinking, well, I want to go out and I want to get, you never think, man, you know what? I really want to go to that place that has the good meatloaf. You never think that at any point because it's not good. Because it's not good. And that's fine. It's okay. I'm not here to judge you. If you like a good meatloaf, it makes you feel good. It reminds you of being 8 years old and having those good family dinners. That's perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with that. It's terrible. Somebody said, C-Dot, what do you think about Salisbury steak? It's its cousin. It's also disgusting. It's trash. We can move on. Sit there right in front of your queen and she tell you she want meatloaf for dinner tonight. You're looking at her like, did something go wrong today? You had a terrible day at work today, if that's what you think. You want to have a nice cold glass of wine and meatloaf? You're sick. Are you cheating on me? That's when you got to start having a serious conversation about her. Something is going on. She's about to give you some news you don't want to hear. She's sleeping with Ted from work is what she really wants to tell you. This is like playing out like Breaking Bad. Let's move on. Coming up next Thursday, you should come out to the Landing in Liberty. Do you think they have meatloaf there? You think they serve meatloaf at the Landing in Liberty? That seems like a place that would have meatloaf on the menu.
And also, I'll say this right now.
I got love for the Liberty, for the Landing in Liberty. It does seem like a place that would serve meatloaf, though.
If the Landing in Liberty has meatloaf, I'll eat meatloaf during the drive. During the draft, excuse me. I'm intrigued to try a meatloaf.
Okay. All right.
With a nice side of mashed potatoes, maybe a nice demi glaze on top. I'll try it.
Come out to the Landing. Order the meatloaf. I'm sure it'll be delicious. Everybody from the station will be there. We're going to watch the first round of the draft. You could win a draft contest that's good for $965. $965. And you can get a game-worn Juwan Taylor 3-penalty helmet while you're out there, too. I mean, that's the real prize. To hell with the money. You don't want the official... You don't want the official 2 flags and a false start Juwan Taylor helmet? Well, you can get that if you show up at the Landing next Thursday and watch the NFL draft with us. It will be a lot of fun. All right. Let's get to the draft here. And I wrote down 4 draft questions that I think we all have heading into round one. The first question, and I believe that this is the biggest question in this year's NFL draft, is where does Shedeur Sanders go? Shedeur Sanders could go anywhere in this draft class. There is a chance that we have been wrong this entire time. And there is a chance that the commissioner stands up there and announces with the number 2 overall pick, the Cleveland Browns select Shedeur Sanders, quarterback out of Colorado. There is a chance. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me. The top quarterback is off the board. They need a quarterback. They go get their quarterback, and to hell with the rest of us and how we think. That could happen. Or I could see it being a potential long day. I could see it being a long day for Shedeur Sanders as well. Anything is possible. If you look at the draft board and you look at the order he could go, if he doesn't go to the Saints, I think we could be talking about him potentially falling in this class. Because if you look at it, Tennessee, we know what they're going to do. Cleveland, New York. Now, New York could obviously take a quarterback. New England is not going to take a quarterback. Jacksonville is not going to take a quarterback. I don't believe the Raiders are spending the 6th overall pick on a quarterback, but they could do what we saw last year and what happened with Michael Penix. The Jets could maybe take a quarterback. I don't think that they will. Carolina, no. It really comes down to the Saints. If he doesn't go to the Saints, he is about to start free falling because Chicago, San Francisco, Dallas, Miami, Indianapolis, I don't see any of those teams. Now, maybe a team is coming up in the draft to go get Shedeur Sanders, but there are a couple of spots that we are really looking to see if he goes on the board. Where does Shedeur Sanders land, I think, is one of the biggest questions in this year's draft. The next person in the same vein is Ashton Jeanty. There is a Ashton Jeanty target zone, in my opinion. I think it starts at 6 with the Raiders, Jets, Panthers, Saints, and Bears. I think that one of those teams is going to draft Ashton Jeanty. I think he's too good of a running back. I think he's too game-changing of a player. And those teams have quarterbacks, and you're trying to pair a dynamic weapon with them. And in this year's draft class, outside of Travis Hunter, I think the best weapon in this year's draft class is a running back. I think it's him. I don't think we're going to see McMillan go high in this draft. Maybe you could argue Tyler Warren, the very talented tight end out of Penn State. I think he could go pretty high in this draft. I think the Jeanty will probably be a better pro than him, but if you took Tyler Warren, certainly wouldn't be mad at it. I would say somewhere in that 6 to 10 range, I think we'll see Ashton Jeanty go. If you're asking me today, I think that Ashton Jeanty is going to go 10th overall to the Bears. If you're the Bears, everything that you've done has been about giving Caleb Williams more on the offensive line, in the wide receiver room, in the tight end room. Everything you've done has been about getting him more weapons, more things, more pieces. Why not give him the best running back in this draft class?
I think Ashton Jeanty is going 10 overall. I think he goes top 10. Let's go back up the draft board. Another question that I have is with Cleveland. We talked about Shadur. I don't think they're taking Shadur. I don't know who they value more, if they value Travis Hunter more or Abdul Carter. I think there's a strong argument on both sides. If you're Cleveland, you could potentially build the best pass rush in the league. You have the number one pass rusher prospect on the board, and you have the best pass rusher in the NFL. If you're trying to create an elite part of your team, drafting Abdul Carter makes a lot of sense. Or you could take maybe the most intriguing prospect that the NFL draft has ever had. I think Travis Hunter is special. I don't think I'm on some wild island there. I think that Travis Hunter could be an all-pro at either position if that's what he focused on. I think Travis Hunter could be an all-pro wide receiver. I think if he stopped playing wide receiver and focused on being the best corner in the league, I think he could be in 3 years. I think he is a transcendent player and is a no-doubter to me. I would take Travis Hunter with the number two overall pick, and then I would figure it out, and I would probably actually primarily play him at corner, and I would just figure out packages that he could help us on offense. I think he is too dynamic on both sides of the ball that you can't limit him, and I do think that he's shown his last 2 years playing at Colorado. I think he can do it at a pretty high level and stay healthy, at least during this rookie contract. So I think I would draft Travis Hunter with the number two overall pick, but I do think Cleveland has a legitimate debate about what they want to do, and it's always about quarterbacks. I think Jackson Dart is quietly moving up the board. And I think the number one story on Thursday after we find out about Shadur is going to be a team is going to take Jackson Dart and it's going to surprise us. It's going to be Pittsburgh at 21 or Pittsburgh moves up. It's going to be a team like that. It's going to be the Rams that take him with the 26th overall pick and maybe they move up to get him. I do believe that Jackson Dart is going to go in the first round. And if it's not New Orleans, there is, again, a big gap of who I think is potentially looking for a quarterback. There's always one big surprise. I think the big surprise is surrounded around Jackson Dart. Those are my four questions. Where does Shadur land? Who do the Browns like more? Do they like Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter? Will Ashton Jeanty be a top 10 pick? And somebody is going to use a first-round pick on Jackson Dart. There's just too much smoke around him as a prospect. I think it's going to be a team that we are not expecting. I think it's going to be a Indianapolis. I think it's going to be a Pittsburgh. I think it's going to be one of those kind of teams that it is going to be the storyline on Thursday after round one is wrapped up.
I don't disagree with you on Jeanty. I had to talk running back, obviously. If the Bears are taking running back at 10, I'm going to chuckle. I'm going to, honest to God, have a good laugh because I like Ashton Jeanty. I thought he had a legitimate claim to winning the Heisman last year. I do not think you should be taking a running back in the top 10 in 2025. You just shouldn't. It's just, it's not. Get the best corner and bolster your defense. Get the next best edge rusher and bolster your defense. Get, you know, Joe Tooney's getting up there in age. Get the best offensive lineman and redshirt. I do not understand why the Bears would take him at 10, but I think Jeanty's the most interesting because quarterback with Shadur is always interesting, but what happens with Jeanty will fascinate me.
You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Coming up on the other side, we talk about the Chiefs and the Yankees. I know it doesn't make sense, but trust me, it'll make sense. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight,
you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, 913-586-7965. Let's talk a little bit of baseball, a little bit of football. We'll throw them all into the pot. This is my question. There is no denying that the Yankees are a national brand. There are certain brands like this in all of the sports. In baseball, you have the Yankees. The Cubs, I think, fit in this. I think you could argue the Braves also fit in this because of the success that they had in the 90s and TBS and Chipper Jones and all of that. The Dodgers, there's a group of those kind of teams. In the NFL, the Packers, the Steelers, the Cowboys. In the NBA, the Lakers, the Knicks. You guys know the point that I'm making here. There are certain national teams. This is my question. What are the Chiefs? Are the Chiefs sort of what the Patriots were in the 2000s? Which I would say is just hot. And nothing wrong with that. There is a time where a team will be at the forefront because they're hot. That's how the Bulls were in the 90s. Everybody loved the Chicago Bulls. You had the black and red, you had the Jordans, you had the starter coat, and as the Bulls' success faded, their fans have now gone to cheer for other teams. There's no question that the Chiefs have become the it team in the National Football League. And if you're a casual fan, you like watching Kansas City. They got Travis Kelce. They got Patrick Mahomes. They got Taylor Swift at the games. There's a lot of positive. They also play in a lot of big games. My question, Rob, is have they moved to the point where we can put them on the list with these other teams? Are they a national team now?
So let me answer your question with a question right back at you. Were the Warriors, when they had Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and everything going, and they were winning titles, were they a national brand? Because I would tell you, I don't think the Warriors ever elevated into the Lakers sphere. I think they were hot. And I think that's what the Chiefs are. I think people love Patrick Mahomes. I know he's hated in some cities. That's because he wins. I think people love Travis Kelce. And that's because his girlfriend might be the most popular person on human earth. I think people know those players. But as Travis Kelce enters toward retirement and we hit another era of Patrick Mahomes, are the Chiefs still going to be hot in 4, 5, 6, 7 years? I think if you go to a Raider game in any city in the country, there are Raider fans there. That was not the case with Chiefs fans pre-Mahomes and pre-Kelsey. So I think they are very similar to the Warriors in the 14, 15, 16 time. So whatever you classify the Golden State Warriors as, that's what I'm calling the Kansas City Chiefs.
So this is, I guess this would be, now I'm asking your question with your question then. This would be my question then. Does someone text in, would you call the Chiefs the flavor of the month? I wonder then, are we at a point as a sports society that we are letting new teams into this category, or has that already been established? Is there a chance that you see the San Francisco Giants, for example, can they become the Yankees? Can they become the Dodgers? Can they become one of those kind of franchises? Is there a chance that in basketball, you could see a team get to the point that the Lakers or the Celtics are in? Because the Bulls had as much success as anybody in NBA history. No one thinks of the Bulls or the Knicks. Not in terms of excitement, not in terms of none of those things. No one feels that way about them. Or have we just reached that point? The same way that we have the conversation in college sports about being a blue blood and about being one of those kind of programs, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, one of those. Have we just reached that point in professional sports? Because, I mean, Kansas City is as good as any NFL team has been ever. Ever. The Packers have never been as good as the Chiefs have been. Not in our lifetime. Yeah, maybe they were back in the 60s when Otto Graham and Bart Starr were playing. The Packers have never been as good as the Chiefs, but the Packers are more popular than the Chiefs are. The Steelers, they have not had the success post-1978 the way that the Chiefs have currently had. The Steelers are more popular than them. The Cowboys haven't been good at any point, Rob, since you left elementary school. They haven't been good. The Cowboys are the most popular team in America. Have we just reached the point that we are not going to let new professional teams into that club of the tier one needle mover national fan base teams?
Yes. I think we are at a critical mass when it comes to national brand teams. Now, similar to blue bloods in college basketball, how last year I kicked out UCLA, welcomed UConn in, maybe we will get to a point where everyone in society says, hey, They don't have that aura, that allure anymore. We're kicking the Dodgers out of the club, and that's how the Chiefs can enter. But I think the club is full. I do not believe there is room for another team. I believe everyone that is successful in the modern era is, to quote the texter, somewhat flavor of the month. And there is nothing the Chiefs can do to elevate to that same aura as the Packers or Steelers. Maybe they bottom out and we have to have a conversation about, hey, are they out now? But I think we have hit a critical mass and that club is full. And it's no fault of the Chiefs. They've done everything you can to get into that club. You're just not getting into that club. Same how in college football, Clemson's not a blue blood. I'm sorry. You have two national titles. Great. You beat Bama twice to do it. Great. You're a constant in the college football playoff. You had the hottest name college football prospect at quarterback when you're like, Clemson has done a lot of things to enter that blue blood college football mentality. I'm sorry, Clemson, you're never going to be Oklahoma. You're never going to be Notre Dame, despite the fact that you've had more recent success than them. I think it's the same for national brands.
Text line 913-586-7965. Just trying to get you guys' opinion. The Royals are playing the Yankees. The Yankees are certainly one of those national brands. You know a Yankee fan that has never lived in New York. They like Derek Jeter. They like the history. They like the pinstripes. They like the hat. Are the Chiefs reaching that point, or is there just not a chance that we're going to have that in professional sports anymore? Yes, some teams will be bandwagon teams. The Miami Heat were a bandwagon team. You made the analogy of the Golden State Warriors a couple years ago. The Chiefs are certainly that team right now. For those of you that play the video games, you remember when no one used to play with the Chiefs on Madden. Now everybody plays with the Chiefs on Madden. And then there'll be a time that people will just move on. They'll find the new team. They'll find the new dynasty, the new it thing, the new quarterback, whatever that is. So I'm really curious to get you guys' thoughts on that. 913-586-7965. So I asked Rob to pull this because I was very curious to hear this. You guys know how there was a time where if you were what they would consider a gunslinger quarterback, you got compared to one person. You were Brett Favre. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. You were black, white, big school, small school, didn't matter. If they considered you to be a gunslinger, you were Brett Favre. We did that to so many individuals. Well, I've started to notice something now. I've started to notice that we have kind of moved past the Brett Favre comparisons. People don't compare you to Brett Favre anymore. You know who they compare you to? They compare you to your quarterback. They compare you to Patrick Mahomes. So I had Rob look this up. I was like, hey, give me the most recent draft class, because I'm guessing in every single one of these classes, they find somebody who reminds them of Patrick Mahomes. I'm guessing they just do this. I didn't know, but I know how this NFL draft things work. I'm guessing there's somebody in this year's draft class they think is like Patrick Mahomes. I'm guessing there was somebody in last year's draft class. I'm guessing we can find it just recently. He is now the blueprint. He is the architect. He is what all these other teams are trying to find. Rob said, I don't know. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't you just try? Why don't you just see what happens? Let's start the process. This is Cam Ward being compared to Patrick Mahomes.
Look, I said my comp for Cam Ward because of the way he plays. He reminds me of Patrick. He reminds me of Mahomes with how he can be unconventional, throw the football from all different kinds of weird angles, and then just put a bunch of horsepower on it when he needs to. And look, to me, if someone was telling me, hey, that's maybe what you're getting, I'd be pretty damn excited. Now, I'm not saying I'm exactly right, but that's my bet, that Cam Ward will have that kind of impact and play that kind of style of football in Tennessee if they happen to select him number one.
I like Lewis Riddick a lot. I didn't even have Rob pull this. He said the exact same thing last year about Jaden Daniels. Now, Jaden Daniels had a great rookie season. They went to the NFC Championship game. He was rookie of the year. He was phenomenal. I like Cam Ward. I would pick Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. Rob, you watch a lot of college football, as much college football as I do. You see Patrick Mahomes when you see Cam Ward? I don't see actually any of those characteristics. Actually, I see one. I think that Cam Ward has a very similar sense of when to take off and run and leave the pocket the way that Mahomes does. I don't think that Mahomes is a scrambler by any means. I think he is mobile and has a really good internal clock, and he knows, all right, I'm going to look downfield, but when it breaks down, I need to make sure that we get this first down. So if it's 3rd and 8, I'm going to make sure that I get 10 yards and I'm going to move the chains. I think that Cam Ward has that ability. But watching them both as passers, I don't see really any comparison to Patrick Mahomes. So that is Lewis Riddick. Lewis Riddick is one of the best football minds out there. In fact, he interviewed for the Chiefs GM job before they hired Brett Veach. People respect Lewis Riddick. That's Cam Ward being compared to Patrick Mahomes. All right. Let's now move to Caleb Williams. Remember Caleb Williams last year? Remember him? You remember him. I like Caleb Williams. I still think he has a chance to be a good pro. I know some of you have given up on Caleb Williams, which doesn't make sense to me. I look at the numbers from last year and then 2 years ago from C.J. Stroud. They basically had the same rookie year. I don't know why people have given up on Caleb Williams so quickly, and now he has a good offensive-minded head coach. I'm still all in on Caleb Williams. Here is he being compared to Patrick Mahomes.
He is as good of a thrower as you're going to see coming out of a draft. This is a special, special arm, the way he could throw spirals, the different areas and platforms he could throw off of, right? I do believe this is the closest thing we've seen to Mahomes coming out. I'll certainly be tuned in to watch this and see what it looks like.
Caleb Williams? And I like Caleb. Caleb kind of reminds me a lot more of Russell Wilson when he was coming out of Wisconsin and NC State than I would compare him to Patrick Mahomes, especially when you look at like size and stature and all those things. Like, Mahomes is big, 6'4", 6'5". It's not really what Caleb Williams is. I think they're built very differently. I think their play style is very different. But, I mean, Chris Sims played quarterback in the NFL. Who am I to tell him? His dad's a Hall of Famer, great player. Says that Caleb Williams also reminds him of Patrick Mahomes. So, we have a Cam Ward comparison. We have a Caleb Williams comparison. Why don't we go to Kyler Murray, who's 5'7"?
Kyler Murray's running game is certainly electrifying, but his arm is also special, which is why I think his best NFL comparison is Patrick Mahomes. Like Mahomes, Murray's throwing motion is a textbook example of kinetic linking. This fluid transfer of energy from the ground up makes his arm act like a whip cracking, where the end of the whip is moving the fastest. This is why Murray can make a 50-mile-per-hour pass look effortless. But with a compromised kinetic chain, he's still dangerous. Driving off the right leg, the left leg kicks forward to accentuate forward momentum, and Murray's hips rotate at more than 500 degrees per second. That's roughly 25% faster than average. Enables him to throw strikes on the run.
Kyler Murray, who's 4'7". I don't really see any similarities between Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes. Certainly not when the game gets important. None. I just think that there really is no comparison for Patrick Mahomes currently in the NFL. I really don't think that there's a comparison, actually. Like, not even a little bit. Not at all. Rob, when you see Cam Ward, is there a quarterback that you're reminded of?
Ooh, that's a good question. Cam Ward's a little bit unique because I think he's a really good prospect. I don't want to come out like I'm anti-Cam Ward, but I think there are drafts in the past where Cam Ward would not have been the can't-miss number one, oh, can you believe they got him kind of guy. I don't know he's can't-miss. So I'm trying to think of a quarterback that is a good player that I thought, hey, they can be good, but I don't know they're going to be transcendent. Because that's kind of how I feel about Cam Ward. Just kind of thinking through, he's got good athleticism, good arm, but I guess maybe he's got a little C.J. Stroud to his game. Like, that's the closest I can compare off the top of my head. And C.J. Stroud's a good quarterback, but I don't think it's can't miss number one, you got to take that guy type of play.
Are you a believer in Cam Ward? Now, some of it I do think with Cam Ward is a scarcity at the position this year. He is the best quarterback in this draft class, and quarterback is so important. That's definitely pushing him to number one. Like, I don't think that he is one of those prospects. Like, we've seen guys who were the number one undeniable. Like, I don't think he's the same prospect that Kyler Murray was coming out or that Caleb Williams were. And we can find other players. Like, there are knocks in his game. But I think that he has a chance to turn out to be a good pro, a pretty decent pro. And I think if that's the case, then I don't really think you have a choice in order. I think you have to take him with the number one overall pick if you're the Tennessee Titans. Like, I don't think you can choose to move on from Cam Ward and go take Abdul Carter with the number one overall pick. And I love Travis Hunter. I don't think you can take Travis Hunter with the number one overall pick if you're Tennessee, not when you have the question mark that you have at the quarterback position. I think they're kind of forced to take him, and you get him, and you try your best to try to make it work with him as the number one overall pick.
I just Googled it. I want to see what some people said online just to kind of get a better feel. Ben Roethlisberger is something you see a lot online with a comparison for him. You also see a lot of Vikings era Sam Darnold is another thing you see. Like, I think he has a chance to be a good pro, but I feel like a lot of the hype and buzz around him is because he's in a really bad quarterback draft. Because, like, Shador has question marks, and then it's barren wasteland. I wouldn't waste a first round pick on Jackson Dart or Tyler, the kid from Louisville. You know, he's like the flavor of the month type of guy right now. He's the hot commodity.
There's always somebody like that.
I think he transferred from Oregon or Texas Tech. Tyler, you know, Shue, something like that. I think Cam Ward has a chance to be good. I don't know Cam Ward is a can't miss number one guy. So I like him the best of this class, but I don't love him as a prospect. Like, if you were to put him in last year's draft class, where does he get drafted? You got Jaden Daniels, you got Michael Penix, you got Caleb Williams. If he was in last year's draft class, where's he going one through? Bo Nix, where is he falling in that group?
Yeah, I think I'd rather actually take him than I would have taken Bo Nix, and I would have taken him ahead of Michael Penix. I think he's probably the third best quarterback in last year's draft class. Now, I can admit this. I was wrong on Bo Nix. I didn't think that Bo Nix had the ceiling that he currently has. I think Bo Nix has a chance to be a pretty good quarterback in the league. You know what I think happened to Bo Nix? And, Rob, we make this comparison much more in an NBA draft sense. A guy like the kid from Auburn, Janai Broome. You're 24 years old. Sure, maybe there's not a ceiling for you to get better, but that kind of scares NBA teams off, and they end up drafting an 18 or 19-year-old with potential. And they normally pass on the older player that can just step in right away and play. I think I underestimated that part with Bo Nix. The fact that you and I both made fun of how old he is, man, the fact that he has played high-level football, whether it was in the Pac-12 a couple of seasons ago or in the SEC and Auburn for as long as he did, man, you played 100 high-level college football games. Now, obviously, there's a jump going to the next level, but it wasn't going to be as big as I think you and I kind of made it sound like whenever we were discussing him as a prospect. That stuff matters. And I think what usually happens with some of these draft prospects and what would scare me off now with some of these guys is we've seen if you don't play a lot of college football, it's hard to make up that learning curve. It's hard to do that if you're Trey Lance and you only started 1 year down in 1AA. It's hard to make that up if you're Anthony Richardson and you only have 400 pass attempts in college. If you're Bo Nix, you threw 2,000 passes in the SEC. Like, you've got a lot of on-the-job training that I think prepared you to step into the league a little bit. So I'm willing to say I was just wrong on Bo Nix as a prospect last year.
I think, and you know what? It's probably the NBA part of my brain that made me do this. Because I don't think this is a one-for-one comparison. But remember when Jalen Brunson came out of Villanova? He had cooked Kansas in the Final Four. Just awful. It was a miserable time to
really
watch.
Really good comparison about Jalen Brunson.
But Jalen Brunson was, hey, there's no ceiling, there's no ceiling, there's no ceiling. Jalen Brunson's a great NBA player now. He's maybe not a superstar, but he's a great NBA player. I think I let my NBA brain get in the way with Bo Nix, and I thought to myself, hey, 24, 25-year-olds, they ain't gonna work. You'd rather develop a 21-year-old. There is a place in the league for players like Bo Nix. I think we have to view that as the Jalen Brunson type. There are definitely Brandon Weeden types who are too old and it's not going to work, but you're right. We were probably too unfairly harsh on him for his age.
Coming up on the other side, why don't we talk a little bit of Royals baseball? We haven't talked a whole lot of baseball today. The Royals lose their game yesterday to the New York Yankees. I think we've already reached kind of an impasse with the Royals, and I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I'm going to admit something to you guys that maybe I shouldn't admit, but it's the truth, and I try to tell you guys the truth about these things. I think we are in a holding pattern right now with the Royals because there is nothing new with the Royals. There is nothing new. The Royals have had the same problem now for 10 straight days. How the Royals lost yesterday is how they've lost all the games that they've played. They don't score enough. And I don't mean in like a very obvious, well, of course you didn't score enough, you lost. I mean, they scored one run yesterday in Yankee Stadium. You're not beating any Yankee team ever scoring run in that ballpark. This has been a problem for the Royals all season. They don't score. I'm not here to tell you things you don't know. I don't have any new stats today on how their offense is underperformed. I don't feel the need to do that for you every single day. The Royals have lost 4 of their last 6 games. They have struggled to score. It feels like we are in this pattern that, for the most part, everybody has taken a side on this. You have either taken the it's early, let's wait and see side, or you are in panic mode. I was on Royals Review earlier today getting ready for the show, and they were having the conversation about whether or not the Royals should fire their hitting coach. When you start having that conversation, that's like when you start getting mad at the offensive play caller in football. That's when you start having the what's wrong with Matt Nagy conversation. If that's where we are in the baseball season, 3 weeks into it, we're now talking about firing the hitting coach. Some of you have reached the panic side of it. And you guys know my stance on this. I am not looking at this in just a 17-game vacuum of this season. The Royals have had this same offensive problem dating back to last year as well. This is a 50-game problem that they have had where they just don't score consistently. I gave you guys the stat yesterday. They have now played 50 games since Vinny broke his thumb. They have scored 143 runs in those 50 games. If you can't consistently score three runs in 2025, you're just going to be inconsistent. And the Royals have been inconsistent. They were inconsistent in September. They've been inconsistent to start off April. That's just kind of where you are if you don't score. So that's why I say, I think with the Royals, there's only really one topic. This is where we are. The Royals' offense is scuffling. And we are waiting on certain individuals to get going. Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, Jonathan India, you are waiting to see. And then there is a group of players, or maybe the offense as a whole, of you that are panicked about where they are. But I think we're just kind of in this holding pattern at least until the end of the month. So we got a couple more weeks of this. Now, maybe the Royals get themselves out of this offensive rut. Could start today. They're at Yankee Stadium. You go out there, you score eight runs, and that kind of fuels this offense and carries them, and you get the bats going. It's possible. It's possible that you do that when you come back home. You got Colorado. That team's not good. You got Houston for a homestand, and maybe that's when we get there. But it just feels like to me we are at a, we'll just wait and see until we get to about May 1st. Until we get to about May 1st, and maybe it's more fair, I would say, they have a pretty long homestand starting on May 4th. They play a four-game series against the White Sox, and then they have a three-game set against the Boston Red Sox. So they have a week of home games. So there's still a little bit of time, I think, before anything is going to change, or I think that you can overreact to the Royals. That's when we start to get to guys have 100 ABs. Guys start to have 125 ABs. But that's kind of where I am with this team. 913-586-7965. I don't have it in me to tell you every day they can't score. You know they can't score. You know they can't. You watch the same games that I'm watching. You do not go into these games thinking that the Royals are going to win 6-3. You don't go into it. Now, they could win today 3-2. They could go in there and win 4-2 today. You don't feel confident that they're going to score a lot or break through offensively. So I guess all of this is just, I think we are currently in a holding pattern as more time has to develop. We have to get more information. We have to get more data about the Royals to kind of figure out exactly how to resolve the problem when it comes to their offense.
I think we've hit the point in the baseball calendar where I think early in the baseball season, everyone treats baseball games like football. Every one game is we have to react to every one thing. Oh my goodness, so-and-so made an error. This team defensively is bad. Oh, this guy's not. So-and-so went to the bullpen. They went to this game. So-and-so didn't get it done. This is a sign. Bad bullpen work. But we have now reached the point in the sports calendar where I think we are understandably adjusting for what the sport is. It is a sample size sport. And you're right, the Royals offense has been bad in the 16, 17 games they've played this season. But we don't judge baseball over 16, 17 game sample size. That's what, the 10th of the way through the season? We can say it's bad, but I think we still need more data before we make wide sweeping judgments.
I'm with you, and I guess my point in all of this is, I think right now there is a disagreement on Royals fans about when that sample size starts. There is a disagreement, right? The sample size to me goes back to last year. This team is virtually the same. They're virtually the same. This is the 2024 Royals offense plus Jonathan India. They didn't make any other major changes. Yes, Garcia is performing a little bit better than he did last year. It's been great. He's just been better than he was last year. You're going to get some guys that improve, some guys that regress. That's the way that all teams work, but they didn't really have any radical shakeups. So for me, the sample size just starts earlier. For some fans, the sample size starts on opening day. And that's where I think the, you guys are overreacting. Let's wait and see. So if you're giving Kyle Isbell more time, great. If you're giving MJ Melendez, and I don't think that's the wrong stance to have, I think that's the stance that the team is taking. They're not sending MJ Melendez down right now. They're still going to put Biggio out there. They're not doing anything radical. So we just got to wait to see if they get themselves out of it. But there is no question they are in the middle of what has been a prolonged slump. They're bottom five in runs scored. They've been bottom five in runs scored now for the last 2 months of regular season baseball, if you go back to last season. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. Like, you can't make the playoffs offensively the way that they are, and that's all I'm evaluating them on this season. That is a standard that I think you can hold the Royals to. Are you playing at a way that gives you a chance to win your division? And at least right now, they're not. But you can't win your division on April 15th. And you and I talked about this yesterday about treading water. You're 8-9. You're not out of it by any means. You're still hanging around. And I think the hope is that eventually you'll get the bats to wake up. You'll get the bats to wake up. We can keep this conversation going on the other side, 913-586-7965, about where you guys are with the Royals right now. I just think we're in a holding pattern right now. I think we're in the, let's see how this plays itself out, and we'll give this a couple of weeks until we potentially press the panic button. Keep right here. It's The Drive.